in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny. It's been a while.
Nnamdi, rising Nigerian heavyweight Efe Ajagba, about to get back in the ring. Tell our VOA fight fans about that.
Efe Ajagba will step into the ring Saturday, September 19th, at the Bubble in Las Vegas, MGM Bubble. This is without a live audience. But it will be televised on ESPN. We're looking at eyeballs in the million. When we talk about ESPN, we're talking about a Saturday night fight. And this will be his first debut on ESPN with Top Rank and Bob Arum. He's taking on Jonathan Rice out of Los Angeles, California. Jonathan Rice is a rugged heavyweight. It will give Efe Ajagba a very, very good fight.
Nnamdi, you mentioned Ajagba now with Bob Arum and Top Rank. Will he have his old team with him on Saturday night?
Efe Ajagba will not go into this fight with his old team. We're talking about his old team, Hall of Fame trainer Randy Shields, his promoter Al Haymon and Premier Boxing Championship, his manager Shelley Finkel. He decided to move on without the old team. He will be stepping into the ring Saturday night with a new team. And the new team will be James Prince, a high-powered boxing manager, a hip-hop mogul. Yes, hip-hop mogul, for those that are into hip-hop. He once managed Roy Jones, the Floyd Mayweather, Andre Ward, and Shakur Stevenson, the 2016 silver medalist Olympian from the USA. This is a very, very strong individual, highly respected in the boxing game, and he works hand in hand with Bob Arum and Top Rank.
Nnamdi, what can you tell us about Efe Ajagba's new trainer?
His new trainer, this is a very interesting one. His name is Kompa Koroma, born in Sierra Leone, and he is another highly respected trainer because he worked with Team USA for the 2016 Olympian. He discovered the world champion Shakur Stevenson at the age of 11, and he molded him and worked with him. And he also worked with the female champion Clarence Shields. He's highly respected and he's very young. I expect him to bring a lot to the new Efe Ajagba corner. We get to see that on Saturday. So a new team, new promoter in Top Rank and Bob Arum, new manager. We look for new things with Efe Ajagba before he will strike in 2021 against any of the world heavyweight champion.
Efe Ajagba, eager to strike Nnamdi based on his recent comments saying he's ready for world champion Anthony Joshua. Your reaction?
Sonny, yes, the boxing fans in Europe and Africa, they were not really happy when Efe Ajagba said he believes he'll be able to take on Anthony Joshua now and defeat Anthony Joshua. You know, people at home, they were not happy. And personally for me, I just felt that was not the right thing to say right now because he's not in the same league with Anthony Joshua. And moreover, it's all about the money. Tough fight for Anthony Joshua. And then the money's not there. It's about cash flow. So Anthony Joshua don't need Efe Ajagba. They're not in the same league. Give Efe Ajagba maybe another year. He'll be able to take on people like Tyson Fury and Dillian White, Alexander Povetkin. That time will come. But right now, he can hang on with challenging Anthony Joshua. And, you know, Anthony Joshua is there to all fight fans, not only in Europe, all over Africa, and even here in the diaspora. We love Anthony Joshua. To see another young Nigerian saying, I can do it. No. The question becomes, why did FL move away from this team that brought him where he is and to a new team? Well, it's all about eyeballs. With ESPN, you're looking about millions of viewers on a Saturday night compared to where he was before with Fox and Al Heyman and Premier Championship. So I believe it's the best move for him. The trainer is a very young trainer. And I disagree with people that say, well, he needs an old hand that has been there and all that stuff. Yeah, he had that with Randy Shields. So it's time for him to try new things. And come Saturday night, if he's able to bring more to the dance and say, wow, yeah, he's got a new trainer, he's got a young trainer. There are things we want to see. We'd like to see him box more, tighten his defense so he doesn't get hit with some silly shots and get dropped on the floor like the last fight. If we can see all that, and I believe Kumpa Kuruma, like we call him Coach K from Sierra Leone, I think he'll be able to do a number on him and get him ready for Saturday night.
Boxing superstar Canelo Alvarez has filed a huge multi-million dollar lawsuit against the streaming service DAZN. How about some details, Namdi?
Sonny, the biggest star in boxing today in Canelo Alvarez has a contractual issue with his promoter and promoter Golden Boy and Oscar De La Hoya, the broadcast partner, DAZN. Remember when they signed this deal, the deal they signed in October 2018, the deal was for 11 fights for $365 million. At that time, it was touted as the richest multi-bout contract for any fighter on the planet. Well, if you break it down, 11 fights, $365 million, it comes down to $35 million guaranteed per fight. This was based on people subscribing and Canelo fighting opponents that will draw in the viewers so that they will get that money to pay Canelo $35 million per fight. Well, for the 11 fights, they were able to do only three fights, and COVID-19 came in and turned everything upside down. And part of the deal on that 11 fight was that he will fight Triple G in 2019. And Canelo was not really interested in fighting Triple G for the rubber match. So DAZN overpaid Canelo. Not only Canelo, DAZN overpaid a couple of fighters and drove the money market in the fight game upside down. Three fights done, eight fights left in the deal. Now Canelo is suing for $280 million. There could be a settlement, but don't expect Canelo to fight for anything less than $35 million per fight. Where will DAZN get the money? Remember, the live gate for Canelo's last two fights were $24 million and $27 million live gates. With COVID-19, there's no way to get that money right now. So he's willing to fight without a live audience, but he still wants to make $35 million. DAZN said, no, we can't give you this money. We can give you $15 million. And Canelo said, no, I want more.
Namdi, will Canelo fight this year?
I don't really think so. Canelo is not going to fight in 2020. We're now in September. Before you know it, November is here, holidays. And so we're looking at 2021 for Canelo, and both sides are in deep. They can't back out of the contract because their money guaranteed, and Canelo will have to fight. And there's no TV network that will pay Canelo $35 million for easy fights. ESPN won't give him that money. Fox TV won't give him that money. So he's stuck with DAZN to go back and resolve whatever it is and have the fights in 2021.
Thanks, Namdi. That's Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. And we'll hear more hard-hitting insights from Namdi on Thursday's show.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. South Africa's Premier Soccer League featured a dramatic finish to its most recent season. Mamelodi Sundowns lifted the trophy for the third time in a row by beating Kaizer Chiefs on the final day. Head coach Pitso Mosamane and Ugandan goalkeeper Dennis Onyango have been talking about how they rallied to overtake the Chiefs, who once led them by 13 points in the standings. Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
The Brazilians, as they are known, won their final game of the South African Premier League to leapfrog rivals Kaizer Chiefs. Pitso Mosamane, Mamelodi Sundowns manager, attributed their triumph to discipline and hard work. He says it was a challenging experience working under the guidelines introduced to avoid COVID-19.
Imagine when you don't have enough time or enough space to do presentations, space to see, to do videos with the players, space to address the players. We meet in different groups, in two groups. So it's a little bit more work for us as coaches. And whatever you do, you have to do it two times. You can't put everybody in one space, and we have to make sure that the space that we are on, open spaces, and where we have fresh air coming in and out. I became also a health officer.
Goalkeeper Dennis Onyango explains the motivation for the team.
We stayed focused because the only way for us to redeem ourselves was to win the league and also the Nedbank Cup, because winning the league means that we go back to the Champions League next season, and also winning the Nedbank Cup, it gives us a chance to play in the Confederation Cup. So both trophies were very important for the club, but mostly the league was very, very important because we want to maintain this Champions League spot. So we had to fight on.
Mamelodi were eliminated from the CAF Champions League by Egyptian giants Al Ahly, who beat them 3-1 on aggregate. Dennis Onyango joined Sundowns captain Hilompo Kekana, Anthony Lafol, Teboho Lonjaman as players who have won 7 PSL titles.
We are the first club to win 10 league titles, APSA Premiership titles. It's my 7th, so it made it special, even though it was a difficult one, but nothing comes easy. Yeah, every league title is special, but this one was something else because of the circumstances that we were in. Coming back from the COVID-19 period, and also chasing top of the log guys who were Kaizer Chiefs for almost 8 to 9 months.
Fellow goalkeeper, Zambian Kennedy Mwene, praises Onyango for his experience.
People, when they see us, when we are in the office, our office, it's in the pitch, they think we are too serious. And he's got answers. He's the captain for Uganda. There's a reason why he's a captain. I'm the captain of Zambia. So, yeah, I think we understand each other, and the competition is good. We are three brothers at Sundowns, me, KK, and Dennis, because, yeah, we like joking a lot. And especially, you know, in camp, when the team is low on morale, we always come with jokes. And, yeah, everyone, at least, they come all right.
Despite winning the league 3 times in a row, Coach Mosamane says he still has bigger goals for Mamelodi Sundowns.
Our supporters know that we are going again for CAF Champions League. It's a difficult route, that one. We all know that. And again, Champions League under COVID, we don't know it. It's another story now. In terms of the team, we're trying to make a better team, to make the team stronger, improve the team, as always.
Indeed, Mamelodi Sundowns beat Bloemfontein Celtic by 1-0 to lift the Nedbank Cup and seal a domestic treble in 2019-2020 season, having lifted the Telkom Knockout Cup in December 2019. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Sporting greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. In Paris Wednesday, former World Athletics President Lamine Diack was sentenced to 2 years in prison in his corruption trial. The judge detailed Diack's role in a payoff scheme that allowed Russian athletes who paid hush money to keep competing when they should have been suspended for doping. The 87-year-old Diack was also fined $590,000. World football's governing body, FIFA, and the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, or UNODC, have signed an agreement aimed at fighting crime and corruption in sports. First, we'll hear from the UNODC's executive director from Egypt, Gada Wali.
It's a very important memorandum of understanding. It is a memorandum of understanding that brings together two very important and distinct bodies, yet two bodies that are keen on fighting corruption globally and in sports. So as KIFA has announced zero tolerance to corruption, we at UNODC are very keen on protecting the integrity of sports. To us, sports is a vehicle of hope, is a message of hope and happiness to youth, to communities, to societies. So we cannot let integrity, let crime or corruption tarnish sports.
Now we'll hear from FIFA President Gianni Infantino.
FIFA and UNODC signed a historic memorandum of understanding, which is a strong signal. It is a milestone for FIFA, which recognizes the work we have been doing in FIFA in the last 4 years for good governance, transparency, accountability, the reforms that we have implemented in FIFA. But it is also a historic agreement because it is forward-looking. It will help us in football to fight corruption, which is our top priority, especially in FIFA. After the history that we all know of FIFA, we are fighting corruption, we have zero tolerance against corruption, and we don't want corruption in FIFA and in football to happen ever again. And for this, we need to work together with organizations like the UNODC, because we are just a sports body. We need law enforcement agencies, we need governments, we need international institutions to help us fighting corruption in sport. When we say fight corruption in sport, we say as well fighting match fixing in sport, which is a problem in many, many countries, and where we need, of course, to cooperate very closely with law enforcement agencies there as well, because it is a crime to fix a match.
That's Gianni Infantino, the president of World Football's governing body, FIFA. And he spoke in Vienna, Austria. And thanks to FIFA for that audio.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective.
we see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. In National Basketball Association playoff action Tuesday night, the Denver Nuggets once again rallied to beat the Los Angeles Clippers in Orlando, Florida. In the process, Denver advanced to the Western Conference Finals. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
In a winner-take-all game seven, the Nuggets stunned the Clippers 104-89. Trailing the series 3-1, Denver rallied to win 3 straight. Jamal Murray scored 40 points in the deciding win.
Everybody counts us out. And it's just fun to silence everybody. We love it.
Nikola Jokic had a triple-double, finishing with 16 points, 22 rebounds, and 13 assists.
It's not just me and Jamal. It's everybody. It's really everybody. And I'm so happy that everybody accept their roles and everybody accept who they are in the most important time in the season.
The two Clippers stars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, combined for just 24 points. Denver will next face LeBron James and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. In the Eastern Conference Finals, the Miami Heat edged the Boston Celtics in overtime in the opening game of their best-of-seven series. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
A big shot by Jimmy Butler and a big block by Bam Adebayo led the Heat to a 117-114 overtime win against the Celtics in Game 1 of the East Finals. Butler converted a go-ahead three-point play after driving the lane and being fouled by Jason Tatum with 12 seconds left in OT. Tatum tried to return the favor, but his dunk attempt was blocked at the rim by Adebayo.
At that point, I had to make a play. So it's the playoffs, and I made a great play.
Goran Dragic led Miami with 29 points. Butler scored 20, and Adebayo added 18. Tatum had 30 points and 14 rebounds for the Celtics.
We got in foul trouble early in the fourth. That hurt. And then we just got to be more consistent. Continue to do what got us the lead. I think we shot away from that a little bit. And allowed them to get back in the game.
I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. Game 2 in the Heat-Celtics series is Thursday night in Orlando, Florida. Meanwhile, the opening game of the Western Conference Finals between the Nuggets and the Lakers will be Friday night in Orlando. Major League Baseball and its players union have reached agreement on the format for an expanded 16-team postseason. Under the format, the final three rounds will be played in controlled, neutral venue quarantine bubbles in Southern California. And the World Series will be played at the new stadium of the Texas Rangers. The AP's Ed Donahue reports.
The World Series will be played entirely in a bubble. In an attempt to limit spread of the coronavirus, the bubble will be the new home of the Texas Rangers, Globe Life Park near Dallas. This would be the first time the World Series was played entirely at one site since 1944. Two teams from St. Louis played that year. There will be playoff matchups in bubbles, too, at Globe Life Park, Petco Park in San Diego, as well as Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles and Minute Maid Park in Houston. Players on teams in mathematical contention for the playoffs will start a transition quarantine period away from family and friends next week before going into the bubble. I'm Ed Donahue.
Thanks, Ed. Major League Baseball says Game 1 of the World Series will be played on October 20th in Arlington, Texas, near Dallas. And that wraps up the September 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.